This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis speaking, and we're inviting you to stay tuned now for the next few minutes to hear another old-time, old-fashioned gospel message from God's Word on the Old Trailblazer. Yes, we're the Old Trailblazer, riding out on old Dan, as it were, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. And I'm happy to have you folks with us. Happy to have each one of you who helped support this work, and those of you who write and tell me that you appreciate these messages. I'm happy to hear from you. I appreciate every one of you, and I appreciate you telling me what station you're hearing me over, and that you like to see this message continued, if you will. If you'd help me with the broadcast, I appreciate that. It's all in God's hand, my friend. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace, doing what the Lord has laid on my heart to do. And I'm bringing you, thus saith the Lord, day by day. We're not gonna go away from God's truth. We're gonna stay with, thus saith the Lord, day by day. We don't have any axe to grind. We don't have any agenda. All we do is looking for sinners. Someone asked the old trailblazer one morning, said, "Trailblazer, I see you got on your hunting cap. What you hunting?" He said, "I'm hunting for sinners." So that's what we're doing at this time. Hunting for sinners, my friend. Are you a sinner? You ever seen yourself as a lost sinner? Oh, what grace it is. We're bringing you a study on the revelation of Jesus Christ. Just getting started in the last 2 or 3 days. And in our last study, we were looking there at the word grace. Now, let's look at the word peace. When the Lord God of heaven has quickened or made alive the spirit of a sinner, dead in trespasses and sin by the power of the Holy Spirit, and has brought that sinner to see his lost, undone condition, to see that he's guilty and deserves to die, to see that the sentence of death hangs over him, and that he's under the curse of the broken law, the soul that sinneth it shall die, and under the wrath of a sinning, fending God who must punish sin. Then he's brought to see that Christ died for such a lost, hell-deserving, guilty sinner, and that all his sins are paid for in Christ. And of the first results of salvation that the sinner feels and knows when his sins have been forgiven and the guilt and penalty of sin has been removed is that peace. Peace comes to his soul. Christ is our peace. And peace is a result of the grace of God shed abroad in a sinner's heart, being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, sister, do you have that peace in your heart which is in Christ? I see the world, the religious world, rushing around. There's always anxiety. There's no quietness of heart there. There's problems here and problems there, and children there and children there, and mothers and dads are wringing their hand. There's no peace there. There's no peace there. Why? Because they're serving the world. They're not rooted and grounded in Christ. Let's notice another. He says, "Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come." It is Jehovah God who is spoken of here as the source of all grace and peace to the human heart. Yes, the ever-present, the great I Am, the Ancient of Days stands forth as the one from whom flows all grace and peace. Oh, that we would fall before him at this time, crying, "My Lord and my God." Brother, sister, pastor, our churches have lost the sense of the majesty and the greatness of the sovereignty and omnipotence of Jehovah God. He is not reverenced in the average church today as such. Why? Why do we not approach our churches with uncovered heads, with, with solemn awe, in sackcloth and ashes, and in utter heartbroken repentance? If we're going there to meet the Lord, instead of being dressed in our finery with all of the lighthearted and gossiping tongues, I see those things, my friend. I see it on every hand. The world has degenerated into nothing but a social club. One of the most awful things that I see when I travel a little bit around, sometimes off on Sunday on a trip, and I pass by some large church out there on the corner, and they're getting out of church about 11:30, quarter or 12, and I see the smoke coming out from under the porch. Men and women lighting up their cigarettes coming out of that church, my friend. Now, do you think they have a new heart? Do you think grace has been manifested in those hearts? And then, not only that, what else do we see? We see pride. We see folks outdressing one another, see who's got the biggest hat. Oh, listen, my friend, I know what I'm talking about. There's not much humbleness no more in the church in this day and time. Why? Because we've lost it. We've lost the grace of God. We've lost the sovereignty of God in our hearts. We have lost the saving grace of God. Oh, now listen. We further notice that grace and peace are also from the seven spirits which are before his throne. The number seven is a number of perfection. And the expression seven spirits sets forth the Holy Spirit in his completeness. We don't know the name of the Spirit of God, but we call him Holy Spirit because his principal business in this New Testament age is what? What is it? Do you know what the principal business of the Holy Spirit is? Is it to cause folks to speak in tongues? No. No, that's all of Satan. Now you say, Pastor, that's a bold statement. That's all of Satan. I asked you, get a hold of one of these tongue speaking churches, and you get some individual out of there that maybe you know who they are. Call them off on the side and see if they talk about Christ. See if they talk about the Lord. No, they talk about their healing. They talk about talking in tongues. Talk about being interpreted. Talking about being anointed with some kind of olive oil and falling out in his driveway. Oh, but listen, my friend. This sad. I'm not making fun. It's sad. It's a sad thing. But listen, the evidence is that they're not speaking of Christ. The principal business of the Holy Spirit is to make people holy. Is to make people holy. There is the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit. Why his name is withheld, we do not know, but we see him here in his completeness. The Holy Spirit is the vicar of Christ. Oh, now listen, let me state here that there are three great teachings or doctrines in God's Word. The Bible, which if rightly understood, unlocked the entire Bible in its marvelous beauty and glory and majesty. First is the doctrine of blood redemption. Blood redemption in Christ. The second is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And the third is the doctrine of the second coming of Christ. Every teaching of God's Word centers around one of these three great doctrines. If you go astray on any one of these three, you are caught in a whirlpool of confusion. An individual in such a state can twist the Word of God to mean almost anything that he wants it to be. Now, I've dealt with those kind of folks. I've dealt with many folks call themselves charismatic. I had a great friend one time, and he told me he was a charismatic. And I thought a lot of him was a good worker, personal worker, friend of mine. Saw him on the job often. But he loved to talk about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, as he called it. And he told me how he said the Lord saved him. Said he was sitting on the bank of a creek one day back in the woods fishing. And said all of a sudden, little old running stream, said all of a sudden, there came a Bible, a holy Bible, floating down the stream. And he took his fishing pole and fished it out of the water, and it wasn't even wet. And he said where it was open to, he gave the scripture. I forget what it was now. And he attributed that as his salvation. Now, my friend, Satan pulled a dastardly trick on him. He did. How else, the manifestation of Satan, how else could that man have believed unless Satan tricked him? Satan pulled a diabolical trick on him and let him think that the Lord sent him a message down that stream floating in the water and it didn't even wet the Bible. Now, you and I know that that's not man-made, that's satanic-made, my friend. In the fifth verse of the first chapter of Revelation, the Lord goes on to state, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Here we see that grace and peace come from Jesus Christ. Think about that, would you, my friend? John closes the book of Revelation with these words, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." The old psalmist said, "Grace is poured into his lips." Everywhere Christ moved, grace poured from his lip. In healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind, raising the dead, healing the leper, cleansing the harlot, saving the sinner. What grace. Oh, what grace. What grace it is to know the Lord. I ask you again, do you know the Lord? Christ is spoken of here as a faithful witness. And in Revelation 3:14, he's spoken of as a faithful and true witness. He is God's faithful and true witness. How often we fail, but the Apostle Paul said, we're counted faithful in him. We don't have any faith. You and I are not faithful. We would break and run in a moment. We'd go back to the world in a moment if we wasn't helped by the grace of God. Now, my friend, you may say, oh, no, no, no. Then we see Christ is the first begotten of the dead. Christ died and was resurrected and now liveth to die no more. As he said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. He lives, therefore I live. Therefore you live if you know the Lord. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And that he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I tell you, my friend, at this time, everything that you have is tied up in Christ. Everything that you ever hope to have, your spiritual life is all based on Christ and his righteousness. Do you have any righteousness of your own that you can hold up? No. No, you sure don't. No, all that, you know what you and I have? Filthy rags. All we have is filthy rags, my friend. We come to the Lord filthy, with filthy rags, mistress rags, the Bible says, and we come there and are cleansed by the blood. Did you ever hear an individual, and I've heard individuals back early on many years ago, talk about when the Lord saved them? How did it seem like they were so clean? They had seen themselves so filthy and so ragged. And all of us do that to a degree who are saved. But this individual, he described how that he was so clean. And he described it like this, like a little newborn baby. Have you ever been there to the hospital or the delivery room? I have. Not in the room. No, I think that's an abomination. But the doctor or the nurse would bring me my babies. I have three children. And when they were delivered and was all right, and they'd clean them up and powdered them up and put a warm blanket around them and brought the little old fellas out there to me. They were so clean. They smelled so good. And that's what we do in the sight of God when we're covered by the blood. Outside of that, we are nothing but miserable wretches. That's right. We are miserable wretches wanting to have our own way. But when the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin, is applied to our heart, then we're just like the newborn snow. We are. We're just like new fallen snow, just white as it can be. And that's how the Lord looks on us in Christ. That's how the Lord looks on us. Oh, no. And he doesn't see our sin. He doesn't see me like I see me. No, if he did, he'd cast me from him. But he sees me as clean as a newborn babe because of the blood. And I praise the Lord for that. I wish I could describe what the Lord does in salvation. He takes a poor old sinner, one who doesn't care for his soul, one who loves sin, one who runs greedily after sin, and awakens him and shows him his guilty distance from a holy God. And then in time, lets him see all of that. And then in time, he reveals Christ to him. Puts a cry in his heart. Lord, save me, else I perish. And then he lets him see Christ. Christ on the throne, on the cross, as our substitute, as our sin bearer. Do you have a sin bearer at this time? He bore my sins, my friend. He's my substitute. I can't save myself. I can't pay that price. But listen, this is the old Trailblazer. I wish I had more time today, but I don't. And if you would, sit down and write me. Let me know if these messages are blessing your heart. Maybe they don't. Maybe you don't care for them. Write me and call me and let me know. And if you would, remember my mailing address. It's the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana 70174. Help me with a broadcast, if you will. Goodbye, and God bless you.